Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Ryan and worship team, for leading worship. We are in the middle of a series. Well, we just started a series in the book of James. And just as a reminder, the book of James is very concerned with translating our faith into action, into good deeds. And so a big deal to James is growing in Christian maturity. Some have referred to James as a how-to guide to live the Christian life. And so we've entitled our series, James, How to Do the Christian Life for Dummies. And so we're in James chapter 1, verse 19 to 27. And this is one of those passages which is, I think, perfectly matches the title of our series. Because it's not at all hard to understand. You do not need a rocket science degree or even a master's degree to understand what these verses that I'm going to read, what they actually mean. But it takes a lot of effort to apply. And so hopefully as you read this and reflect on this, we'll be challenged with God's word and where we need to work on. And as we apply these words to our life, the Bible says in this passage that we will be blessed in all that we do. And that's a good thing. So let's start off in verse 19. But before I do that, let me just say a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your word. And we just pray as we read your word and reflect on it that you would show us areas in our life that we need to work on. And as we see those things, Lord, by your help and by your spirit, help us to change those things that we need to work on. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. By the way, this is my aunt's favorite verse. I remember her telling me that as a child. And who knows, there might be someone here, this congregation, who this might be your favorite verse as well. But let me read that again. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And so I just want to focus on three phrases. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And this whole idea of listening, what I'd like to do is share with you a story of a man who wanted a job being a Morse code operator. And so he responded to this job application. He walked into this building, and it was filled with people punching Morse code machines and doing their thing. And he did exactly as he was told. He was told, fill out this form, go sit in this room with the rest of the job applicants, and when you're called, you go to that room over there where the manager is. So he said, okay, and so him and 20 other applicants were all sitting there. They did what they were told. They filled out their form, they waited in this room, and they were waiting to be called to go to the manager's office. Well, one of the men got up without being called, apparently, and he walked over to the manager's office. The others were a little annoyed that he wasn't following directions. And, a few moments had passed, and the manager came out of his office, and he declared to the others sitting there, he said, sorry, guys, you're going to have to go home. The guy that came into my office has got the job. Well, the others were a little annoyed. Why did he get a chance for an interview and we didn't? And the manager said, it's very simple. Over the PA system in Morse code, I've been saying this. If you can understand this, come into my office. The job is yours. So listening carefully, there's a lot of personal benefit to listening and listening carefully. But James here is saying you shouldn't just listen for your own personal benefit, but you should be listening to others because it communicates respect to others. And that's a sign of good Christian maturity. My brother says the best conversation that he ever had was when he went on a missions trip. And he spoke to his missions trip team leader for 2-3 hours while he was shopping in the mall on a day off or whatever. And he reflected afterwards why that conversation was so incredible. And he realized that throughout that whole conversation, his team leader said nothing other than asking my brother leading questions. And so my brother really spent the whole time, 99% of the conversation, talking while his team leader just simply listened. And, you know, listening has a way to communicate love and respect and appreciation to others. So when we get in a heated conversation with our spouse, are we making sure that we are listening? I'm not always the best at that. What about your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors? What if you're in a big, stressful business conversation? I don't know. Are you making sure you're taking the time to listen? The next phrase, slow to speak. And James is, what he's really trying to get at here, and if you look at the context of the whole book, he's really concerned when he talks about slow to speak, is that we're controlling our tongue, that we're watching what we're saying. I love Proverbs 13:3, it says this, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. And I totally agree with that. There's another proverb that says, even fools are considered wise if they keep their mouths shut. I'm paraphrasing. You know, sometimes the wisest person in the room is the one who said the least. My grandfather, he's passed on right now, but he was known among in our family, amongst their uncles and aunts, and even myself, to be one of the wisest people in our family. But ironically, when we had family gatherings, he said the least. It was always the sons and daughters and grandchildren that are yapping away. He just kind of sat there and listened. But he was considered wise. This phrase, slow to become angry. What James is really getting at here, I think, a few different ways to look at it, is that we're not using our words to hurt others, to bring people down. And God doesn't want you to spew out emotional garbage onto others. Don't be easily offended. Always give someone the benefit of the doubt. So I need to ask the question, are you using your tongue to build up others or to tear others down? The tongue is a powerful thing, as we'll get to in weeks to come. Let's continue on to verse 21. Therefore, get rid of, I just want to pause there for a second. This phrase, get rid of, you could also use it kind of holds to this idea that you're putting aside something. You're taking off clothes that are dirty that just need to come off. You're just taking something off. You're throwing it in the garbage. Therefore, get rid of what? Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And so James could be referring to sins, bad attitudes, poor behaviors. He may also have in mind the sin of malice, which the dictionary defines as a desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another, either because of a hostile impulse or out of deep-seated meanness, the malice and spite of a lifelong enemy. So there's lots of things that we need to throw off, whether it's malice or slander or evil or sin, whatever it is. I heard of a story, and apparently this is true. A man in Mexico, he collected scrap metal, and he sold it to make some money. And this man thought he had hit the jackpot one day when he found an old dental x-ray machine. And so he threw this in the back of his pickup truck, and as he was driving down the hallway, there were metal balls that fell out of this x-ray machine and all over the back of his pickup truck. And so he took this pickup truck to the place where you cash it in for money. He got his money for the x-ray machine, and he drove with the pickup truck and the balls in the back of the pickup truck all the way back to his village somewhere in Mexico. Not long after that, the children found these metal balls, and they discovered that these metal balls were radioactive, but they didn't know it at the time. And so these children were playing with radioactive metal balls from an x-ray machine as if they were marbles. And soon after that, not a surprise, people were complaining of sickness and rashes and vomiting. And unfortunately, some children even passed away because of these radioactive marbles. And so they discovered that these marbles were not only delightful, but deadly as well. And so sometimes we struggle with sins in our life, and we almost think they're delightful. But if we're not careful, they can be deadly as well. And so my question for you today, are you playing with any radioactive marbles in your life? If you are struggling with malice, you're playing with radioactive marbles. We talked about secret sins in a previous sermon series, And if you're struggling with a secret sin in your life right now, you might be playing with radioactive marbles. I used to have Netflix. I don't know who here has Netflix, and I'm not saying people should cancel their Netflix, but I used to watch a few shows on Netflix, and I got to tell you, there's a few shows that I've only been able to watch the first three episodes or so, and then I had to stop. Shows like Breaking Bad, Dexter, The Walking Dead. I remember this one show, I think it was Dexter I was watching, and I think the third episode in or so, I just had to stop watching it because that very night, I after watching a show, I woke up with a nightmare. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, it's just too gruesome. But I just realized that, man, I had to cut that out of my life then and there. And you know, I don't care how old you are, how mature you are, how high you think of yourself, doesn't matter where you're at in life, whatever you allow into your mind deeply affects you. And even songs, there are some songs out there that are just, if you listen to the lyrics, they're not godly. And I think sometimes there's certain lyrics, if you pay attention and really hear what they're saying, you would probably need to turn that radio to a different channel. And I'm just saying, there's just some media in our life that we probably need to get rid of. They're playing with radioactive marbles. Accept the word. So in contrast of getting rid of, James is telling us here, okay, get rid of the moral filth in our life, and in contrast, we need to accept the word. And so what he's really doing here, he's setting us up for the following verses. And I love verse 22, which says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now that is a perfect verse for our series. It's almost as if James is saying, listen guys, don't be dummies. Don't be a bunch of dummies here. The word of God is powerful. It changes their lives. Just simply do what it says. You know, imagine what our churches would be like if everyone just simply did what the word of God said. I remember there have been times in my life where I've read the word of God, and God has convicted my heart to do something, and I'm reading the word of God, and I don't totally understand why God's asking me to do this, but I just do it anyways, and I know that I've been blessed by doing so. The opposite is true. Sometimes I know the Lord is convicting me in a certain area, and I look at it, and I justify why I shouldn't be doing it, and I maybe don't obey God, and I know I've missed out on God's blessing as a result. So God calls us to simply obey God's word, and as we do that, we'll be blessed. The next few verses, James 1, 23 to 25 says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So, we have a mirror up here. And you may have noticed when you walked in today that there have been some youth that have some funny things taped to their face. And if that's you, why don't you come up on the stage now for just a second. And we're going to just talk about what you may or may not have on your face. So, we have Riley and Shauna and Randall. And we have a mirror here. And why don't you guys just line up on my left here. And so we're not blocking anyone's view. And, that's too far. Maybe right about here. Yeah. Who wants the mic first? Right. Riley, you're first.
I'm first. Okay?
I'm going to put this mirror just in a place where you can see a little better.
Okay. Can you be crouched down a little?
Yeah, you can crouch down.
There we
perfect,
go.
Perfect. Riley, I want to ask you, okay? Let's just pretend this is God's word. This is a mirror that I stole from my house. I didn't steal it because it's mine, I guess, but...
Makes sense.
Let's just pretend this is God's word. And Riley represents all of us, okay? And these things on Riley's faces are things in his life that he needs to work on. So, Riley, I want to ask you a question. Let's just pretend that God told you that you need to work... I'm giving you the hard question first, okay?
Okay.
Let's say that this represented some sexual sin in your life, okay? Mm-hmm. What are some reasons, some excuses why some people will see that they are struggling with it, but they don't want to change what they look like?
That's a tough question. Tough question, indeed.
Why don't some people want to deal with sins in their life?
Well, because it's hard to. I mean, it's just they don't want to, like, okay, I know we do that, but like they just like look away from it because it doesn't look good, right?
Yeah.
So.
Good. Give Riley a hand. Thanks, Riley. You can stay on the stage here. Sean, I'm going to ask you a little easier question, similar, okay?
All right.
Let's say you looked into the mirror, God's word, and God's word said you need to be generous. Why don't you think some people would want to deal with this whole generosity thing?
I think maybe because people are used to what they have, and mm-hmm. they'd want to keep what they have.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so a little bit of selfishness, maybe?
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Shauna. Give Shauna a hand. Yeah, sure. And Randall. Let's just pretend that, here, you can hold the mic here. Let's just pretend that this is God's word and this pen represents God nudging you to forgive someone. Maybe Riley hasn't given you enough chicken wings lately and you need to forgive him. So why do you think some people might have a hard time with working on forgiveness?
I think some people might have a hard time because they're so mad that they can't think straight, and then when they do, they don't want to forgive because they're afraid to give in to the person.
Wow, lots of good answers. I like that. You got a few answers in there which are perfect. So give Randall a hand here. Do you think they should take this stuff off their faces? No. Well, the crowd has spoken, I guess. Thanks, guys. Give them a hand. Yeah, I like your answers, guys. Some other reasons why we might not want to change the things that God is revealing to us is that maybe we're embarrassed. Maybe we are enjoying our sin just a little too much. Maybe kind of like what Riley said, it's just a lot of work. It's hard work. Randall said something about maybe I'm just too afraid to deal with what I need to deal with. I don't know. Maybe I'm too hurt. Maybe I'm too angry. A lot of good answers. And so I just want to remind you that, you know, the Word of God, if this represented the Word of God, it doesn't just point out the bad stuff in our life to make us feel guilty, but it also points us to paths of blessing, a positive path that we can go on to receive God's blessing. And it also highlights the importance of God's word in our life. Today, I must have looked at, I don't know, I looked at a lot of mirrors today, you know, in my bathroom a couple times, the bathroom here in the church, and all of you must have looked at a mirror before you came. And if we're so dependent on mirrors for our physical appearance, how much more should we be dependent on God's word for our whole spiritual lives? And so it reminds us the importance of God's word in our life. And so, you know, our church, one of our core areas of vision is to grow in God's word. And I was just so encouraged to hear a few weeks ago when George Van Ryan stood up and said that the word of God had impacted him when it was spoken, and that now he feels he can receive God's forgiveness after hearing a story of David and Bathsheba. And I was just so encouraged by that. That's why we've challenged our congregation to read through the Bible in a year. And if you haven't signed up for that yet, there's still room to do that. You can talk to Jennifer Ravel and she'd be happy to hook you up. That's why in the foyer we have a bulletin board just for the next few weeks. If you have read a passage of scripture that has impacted you, we would love for you to post that on that temporary board in the foyer. I just want to give you a practical suggestion here, a practical way that you can work on the items that you need to work on. I remember a while back, what I did was this. I grabbed a piece of paper, and I looked into God's word, and I prayed, and I said, God, that's not God, but I said, God, is there an area in my life that I need to work on? And so God may have pointed out something to me, for example, generosity. And so what I would do on a sheet of paper, at the very top, I would say generosity. And then I would write out maybe 2-3 scripture verses in the Bible that encourage us to be more generous. And then I want to write out 5-10 ways that I could be a more generous person in that week, whether it was buying someone lunch or sharing some of my resources with people or evaluating how I was giving. And then at the very bottom of the page, I would write out a specific prayer to God to ask me to be more generous. So it's very thoughtful, very specific. And then every single day for a whole week, I would read this list over and over again, pray through it, read through it, and on a daily basis. And at the end of the week, typically what would happen is I actually started to improve in these areas. And so I think one of the challenges why we don't like to change what we see when we look at the mirror is because it just takes a lot of work. And it's true, it does. We all need things to work on. But that might be a practical thing that you can do, and you're welcome to steal it if that works for you. James 1, 26, let's read that verse. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Wow. And so this verse may be referring again to slander and malice, but this word worthless, I just want to take a second and talk about other ways that we could understand that word. And that word worthless could also be understood to mean useless, fruitless, powerless, or even lacking truth. Wow, I don't want to be a powerless, useless Christian. And if that's the case, I better be careful to tame my tongue. And I just want to say this, is that your usefulness for God is greatly hindered if you can't control what comes out of your mouth. So again, I ask the question, how are you using your tongue? Are you using it to build others up or tear others down? Are you in control of what comes out of your mouth? Let's move on to the last verse here, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Let me pause. This word faultless, I just want to talk to you a little bit more about what that word kind of means. And the word faultless, the word that's used for faultless in this verse is a synonym used to, number one, speak of Christ's character as a perfect high priest. So this is a big deal. Number two, it talks about, this is the word that's used to talk about the sexual purity in marriage. And we know that God is really concerned about that as well. And number three, it's also a word that's used to describe a Christian's inheritance. And so this phrase that God, that James is about to say is a huge deal. It's a big deal to God. And in fact, for me, this is one of the most convicting verses in the Bible for me. And let me just continue on with what this verse says. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. To look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so I just wanted to make a note here that widows and orphans wouldn't have had the same social support that they would today. They would have been dependent on the generosity of others. And so I think God's word is really saying here that God is seriously concerned about the poor among you, whoever and whatever they look like. He is deeply concerned about it. His concern for the poor is huge. So I just want to, let's just put that thought on hold here for a second, okay? So if God's concern for the poor is huge, pause. I'm going to stand over here just for effect's sake. There's another thing about, I've said this before to our church, and I'll say it again. We live in a very, very rich, a very, very affluent city area in the world. Very rich, okay? It's March break, and there are many, many families that are away on nice vacations. Nothing wrong with vacations. I've been here for about 8 months, and it's so hard to keep track of who's coming and going. We have people flying all over the world, and that's a great thing. That's good if you can afford that. But we are, you know, we have RVs, we have beautiful houses, we have campers and multiple vehicles and go on nice lavish vacations, and that's great. But we are arguably living amongst the most richest people in the entire world, and we are arguably living amongst the richest people that ever walked the face of the planet. Hold that thought. Let me come back over here. God is intensely, intensely, seriously concerned about the poor amongst us. Let me go back over here. We are arguably living amongst the most richest people that ever walked the face of the planet. Let me go back over here. God is seriously concerned about the poor among us. I think you get where I'm going with this. I believe when we die and we stand before God on Judgment Day, there's a question that God is likely going to ask us, Grace Church. He will likely say something like this. Listen, you guys lived among the most wealthiest people that ever walked the face of the planet. And my concern for the poor is just paramount. And so my question for you is, what did you do to help the poor among you? And I hope to God that we have a good answer. I hope I have a good answer. Every time I read this verse, I'm convicted in my life. You know, one of the most simplest, brainless things that most of us should be doing is, if we're able to, is even just simply sponsoring a child overseas in a third world country, in a poor nation. There's some organizations that I'm sure you know of. I know we support Gospel for Asia. Compassion is a wonderful organization. We even have people here who work for Food for the Hungry, and they're a great organization that can help people who are struggling with poverty. That's a start. Another question we need to ask ourselves are, what are we doing here for the poor among us here in Abbotsford? It's easy to send money overseas, but what are we doing, if anything, with the poor even in our own community? So I'll leave you with that thought and with that question, and I'm just going to close off in a word of prayer and invite the worship team to come back. Lord, thank you so much for today, and thank you so much, Lord, for your word. And Lord, this message is not a message that's hard to understand, but it's hard to apply. Lord, if we are struggling with anything in our life that needs to change, Lord, I pray that you would, by your spirit and your power, that you would change us. You would change me, Lord, so that we can be more fruitful and we can move towards Christian maturity, Lord, in our walk with you. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.